Welcome back to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Well, Miami has been a global leader in marine science and atmospheric research, and it makes sense, right? Consider the geography. Well, at the center of it all is a partnership between the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and the University of Miami. But federal budget cuts could hurt all of that. The NOAA Fisheries may be moving out of its offices in Virginia Key, and that could end the relationship and really hurt the area's reputation in these fields of science. Joining us now, Jenny Stiletovich is environmental reporter for the Miami Herald. Jenny, is always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Dr. Ben Kurtman, he's an atmospheric scientist at UM's Rosenstiel School of Marine and Atmospheric Science, and he is the director of NOAA's Cooperative Institute for Marine and Atmospheric Studies. That is a mouthful. Dr. Kurtman, thank you, and welcome to the program.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
All right. And by the way, Dr. Kurtman is joining us via Skype. Dr. Kurtman, I really do appreciate you joining us because it is your vacation. So, you know,
but let me
start with you, Dr. Kurtman. Briefly describe this relationship between NOAA and the University of Miami. What exactly do you have between the two of you?
Well, the one way to really think of this is Virginia Key is this centerpiece of a collaboration between the University of Miami Marine Campus, NOAA Fisheries that we're talking about today, but also NOAA's Atlantic Oceanographic and Meteorological Laboratory. And what the University of Miami does is it through this cooperative institute, it facilitates collaborations between the NOAA scientists and the university scientists, but we also are able to respond to emerging priorities very rapidly because of this relationship at the university. You know, when there's an emerging need, NOAA can do directed hires through this University of Miami Cooperative Institute that can then respond to that emerging need very, very rapidly. And so it's this agility and scientific collaboration that really makes a cooperative institute a unique opportunity for the government to collaborate with the university community. Hello?
Not here. Oh, there we go. Jenny,
sorry.
No, here we go. Jenny Stiletovich, that relationship now is in danger of ending. Why? What's going on?
Hi. Sorry, I wasn't able to hear what Ben said, so sorry if I repeat anything. It is in danger because St. Pete has stepped forward with a pretty lucrative offer to NOAA to provide land and construct a building they would lease back to the agency if it moves the fisheries headquarters over to St. Pete.
All right. And I apologize if we have some technical issues there. Let me know and I'll make sure that I'm getting the information back and forth to both of you. My understanding, Jenny, is that the NOAA Fisheries is looking to leave. They've been looking for quite some time. This is not new, right? I mean, they've been thinking about it for a while.
That's correct. The building over on Virginia Key was built in 1965. It hasn't been substantially renovated or added to over the years. In 2015, they sort of did an assessment that looked at a number of buildings in the fleet and determined that they needed to either build a new building or move elsewhere. Their recommendation was that they just move across the street, and the St. Pete location was offered as a backup. But then a year later, they took a closer look at the two locations. And in that time, St. Pete, as I said, stepped forward with an offer because they focused. They have a pier and a waterfront district that they're trying to expand and improve. And they have space there that they wanted to provide as an alternative.
So, okay, yeah, Ben Kerman, go ahead.
Yes, yeah, so kind of weigh in here. Jenny's got it exactly correct. From NOAA's perspective, the ideal solution is to actually stay on Virginia Key and actually perhaps have a new building right next to AOML, and the University of Miami wants to help accommodate that need. The problem from NOAA's perspective, as I understand it, is that there really isn't resources for them to build a new building. And that's where St. Pete stepped up and made this offer. And, you know, from the University of Miami's perspective, we just want to make sure that, you know, if there's a possibility to leverage our long-term collaboration with them and help them come up with the resources to build a building or accommodate them on the Rasmus campus or something to that effect, that's something we want to make sure we have an opportunity to do.
And, you know, Ben Kirtman, if it happens, if they happen to leave, I mean, what does that mean for Miami, for the region? Well, you know, if we lose them, what does it mean to the rest of us?
Well, you know, there's a lot of really important research that goes on at the fisheries buildings that people care about, the, you know, fish stock assessments, among many other things. They do a lot of work in the local community. High school students have summer internships there. They get to get involved in field programs. There's on the order of 200 scientists that are associated with fisheries. Those are, you know, good, high-paying jobs that would be leaving the area. So this whole, you know, it's sort of a key pillar in this, you know, technology, science, research, you know, core that happens on the Virginia Key campus that leverages the high school nearby, that gives them opportunities. And so you're basically taking one of the pillars away from that collaboration, and that's going to, you know, damage the other elements of our interactions and collaboration. So it has the potential to do some real profound impacts.
And Jenny Siletovich, really the same question for you, but I wanted to kind of get the feel of what it would mean for the regular person. Like if this were gone, would I notice it?
That's a good question. I don't know that the regular, you know, Joe on the street would notice the absence of the fisheries, but you would see the effect in terms of, you know, we get a lot of local projects that are related to the fisheries office. Ben gave some examples. Some of the coral reef rescue work that's being done is partnered up with NOAA. So the absence of the staff wouldn't be apparent, except for the people who work there, of course. But I think some of those partnerships, this reef rescue work is there'll be a display at the New Frost Museum. You would see those things go away. I mean, I think this partnership goes back decades too. I mean, I thought that was interesting to me is just how long NOAA had been part of the sort of the UM team. I mean, they started over on the Coral Gables campus when Rosensteel moved out to Virginia Key. Then NOAA followed them over there. So it's a long history.
And it's not one of those things where they can just telecommute. Can't, you know, we live in a world where we're interconnected all over the globe. Can't we have one office over here, one office over there?
Well, Ben, when Ben and I were talking, he had said something interesting about the tyranny of distance and the fact that sometimes, these joint efforts happen just because you bump into each other in the hall or, you know, you're there. And Virginia Key is a pretty small place. I mean, there's Rasmus, and then across the street is the NOAA office. And they go back and forth a lot. And, you know, that kind of water cooler talk or that kind of interaction can lead to some really interesting ideas that generate, I think, probably important projects.
And probably hard to do if you are living in two different cities. Ben Kirtman, what more can the university do to try to entice NOAA to keep its fisheries here, to stay in South Florida?
So we're doing two things, major things. The first thing is we're making sure that everybody recognizes that at least the University of Miami should have a fair opportunity to compete with the proposal that the City of St. Pete is putting together. And so we're making sure our congressional delegation and of course, the NOAA folks recognize that it's important to have a fair competition. And I think everyone sort of will recognize that that's important. The second thing is the university is starting to have very robust conversations about what's the package that we think would be the most enticing. Can we leverage the scientific strengths between the two institutions even more? And one of the things that we're really pushing is aquaculture. You know, aquaculture really is the future of feeding the world. And the University of Miami is on the leading edge, worldwide in developing aquaculture. And Southeast Fisheries Science Center really wants to tap into that. And so we're thinking of, can we come up with a counter proposal that gives NOAA Fisheries better access to aquaculture capabilities, and also saltwater laboratory space. So we're really trying to develop a robust competitive proposal.
I do want to mention, by the way, that we did invite NOAA Fisheries to join us on this program. They declined, but they did send us the following statement. NOAA Fisheries completed a facility strategic plan for the Southeast Fisheries Science Center in 2015 that prioritized recapitalization of the Miami Lab, and the feasibility study in 2016 explored various options. We do not have any developments to report at this time. That is their official statement. Jenny Siladovich is the environmental reporter for the Miami Herald. Dr. Ben Kirtman, again, the atmospheric scientist for UM's Rocinsteel School of Marine and Atmospheric Science. He's also the director of NOAA's Cooperative Institute for Marine and Atmospheric Studies. Both of you, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Yeah.
And that is the program. You know, some of the comments that you've heard today, by the way, come from our Public Insight Network, an online community of people who have agreed to share their insights with WLRN. You can find out how to become a source at WLRN.org. You can also look for a podcast of this program by searching WLRN in the Apple Podcast app. That's going to do it for the Florida Roundup. The Florida Roundup is produced by Bridget O'Brien. Our engagement editor is Katie Lepre. Teresa Frontado is our digital editor. Our news director is Terrence Shepard. Alicia Zuckerman is our editorial director. WLRN's program director is Peter Meritz. Our technical supervisor, Jason Zapka. Thanks for pushing the buttons, buddy. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for listening.